And welcome to El Police Radio. I'm your host, Alpha Mike.
Mike Sierra, what's going on?
And we have another fantastic show for you today. Today's show, our guest is Pistol Pete, the gunsmith, Pete Yera, and he's going to come on the show. And I'm excited. I'm fired up about it because he's going to come on the show and he's going to discuss what he does for a living that he loves to do. And what kind of career are you looking for that you can enjoy going to work? You know, with Pete, sometimes it's 7, 8 o'clock. He won't leave the shop. So he's definitely enjoying what he likes. But before we get to him, let's talk a little bit about the podcast, what we're doing, and how you can join the ranks, subscribe. One important thing is there's a lot of work that goes into putting this podcast together. And I know that Mike Sierra can agree to what I'm saying. We will definitely work our fingers off trying to figure out some of these technical advances in electronics. But we're getting there each and every time. So we're fired up about what we're doing. El Police Radio, and of course our other podcast, Leatherneck 7.
Leatherneck 7.
And we're fired up about both of them. And of course, you can subscribe by going to www.lpoliceradio.com and our other podcast, www.leatherneck7.com, and subscribe there. And of course, be in tune to what we're doing. This podcast, we're definitely motivating our listeners with an array of subjects. There's no one set formula here. We're kind of spreading it out, and you're going to hear from agencies to law enforcement officers that have moved on, retired, and they have different array of businesses now. So there's always an exciting guest to look for because we want to humanize the badge. We want to basically say that officers are people. You know, they're just not robots or machines or what some crowd want to dehumanize them. We're going to make them human while our Bolshevik communist friends make them, they dehumanize them.
Yeah, I was watching something online. I don't know if it was Facebook or what entity it was, but I was watching I don't know if the page title, but it says it was called Humanize the Badge. So what this site does, I'm not sure if it's a website, but I'm sure you guys can Google it. Humanize the Badge is pretty much showing the other side, which is the actual truth, the side that had the truth to all these shootings and everything, showing exactly what is going on and why is it most police officers are on edge. When it comes down to those situations, I honestly believe no police officer wants to take a life. But when it comes down to it, you know, it's the police officers over any perps any day. And you can't get more American than that.
Yeah, that website you're referring to is Mike the Cop.
Wow!
Associated with that.
Mike's is that who it was?
Yeah, Mike the Cop.
I knew it looked familiar.
And he's going to be coming up on our show sometime, I believe, in November. I'm not sure.
Awesome.
And if you don't know who Mike the Cop is, he keeps it real, keeps it funny.
Is he a cop?
He's a real cop, and he's a real comedian, too. But their motivation was to humanize the badge, and they're doing a fantastic job. And humanizing the badge is a foundation, and it provides for the family of fallen officers, and that's what they're doing over there.
That's what it's all about right there.
Doing a great job. Let's get back on our main subject that we have today, and that's guns.
Guns.
Guns, guns, and more guns. As I know, our guest is going to listen to our show, and there's only a couple of things on his mind, and one of them is guns and more guns. And then after the guns, guns. I was specifically trained in the discipline of Glock. And I know that there's a lot of people out there when Glock first came out in the late 80s, especially in the law enforcement circles, it was referred to as the plastic gun. There's other advocates out there, they go, well, you know, Glock is not a very accurate weapon, and there are more accurate weapons. And of course there are. You know, you can drive a vehicle, and I guarantee you there's a better vehicle than the one you have. But reliability is more important and very important. Accuracy, of course, all that comes into play. But knowing that your weapon is going to do what you want it to do is what keeps you alive. You have to train in, with the weapon that you have, of course. So for me, Glock was the preferred weapon that I used in my career. I had a Glock 23 and continue to still have it, which is 40 caliber. And the guy that did the maintenance to my gun, well, that was Pistol Pete, the gunsmith. I every day put my life in his hands, and he kind of guided me through that. And it was an experience. You know, he configured the trigger and everything else. There's always safety checks that he would do, change a spring here and advance over there. And I never had a doubt that if I had to use my weapon, and thank God I never did, other than training, that it was going to do what I wanted it to do. So armory and gunsmithing is so important. A lot of people, especially in the concealed market today, civilians are real quick in buying a gun, and they will keep that gun with little to no maintenance. They'll get some gun solvent, and they'll kind of figure out how to clean it, and to them, that's all that needs to be done. And true enough, the gun is reliable. It will last many years, but there are so many important advancements you can do to your weapon. And there's where a good gunsmither or armorer comes into play. And, you know, on this show, our registered expert in guns is Pete. So as long as you hear this show and we're talking about guns, we're involving Pete in our conversations as well. And this guy is very knowledgeable. He's lived for that. And I'm excited about it. Also, the other platform is not necessarily semi-automatic. It is now rifles, and that's a whole different arena. But there are so many manufacturers of rifles out there, more so than semi-automatics and so forth. And you really got to know what you're buying, and it's time to become a personal friend of an armorer. You know, to tune your weapon up. You start buying things that maybe not reliable as far as a trademark because they just started. You really don't know. How reliable is that? You want to make sure that it's going to work and you're going to tap into a good gunsmith, and that's important. So as we move into this segment with Pete, this guy is the most humble human being on the face of the planet. And I can't say enough how he's in love with fixing weapons. And one thing that has really pushed his company forward is officers in large numbers are customizing their semi-automatics. You know, it used to be a time where your semi-automatic was that plain black color that it had when it came out of the box. And I'm one of them. I did it on my weapon for over 20 years. But not now. Now people are taking them to an armor, and there's ways to customize your weapon, make it personal to you, whether it's put on your badge number or put on your favorite superhero theme on it. And people are doing that. So they're personalizing their weapons.
Yeah.
It's an extension of who they are. It hasn't, that I know of, hasn't been outlawed by any agency. But it might be in the future. Some of them are pretty pink colors for our female law enforcement personnel. And, you know, we'll get into a show in the future about tactical advantage. Do you really want a pink gun? But for now, that's the flavor of the day, and people are going to have what they want. And more power to them, because on this show, we're pro-Second Amendment. So if you think that people shouldn't have guns, you've tuned into the wrong podcast. I'm going to need you to move on somewhere else. So before we bring on the guests, Mike, you got anything?
No, I'm just excited to hear. Also, Pete was in the Marine Corps as well, right?
He was in the Marine Corps.
So he's a fellow jarhead.
He's a jarhead and a subscriber to Leatherneck 7. Pete is motivated beyond belief.
And it's like you said, Al, you know, that motivation, that passion he has for his craftsmanship, because that's what it is. He's a master of the arts at what he's doing. You can just tell that he puts in, no matter what handgun or rifle comes into his way, you know, that final end piece, when you finally see it, you're like, wow, this guy actually put in the time. He shed some blood maybe, but man, he put all his heart into sharing, putting him. That's a piece of him. I feel him on that. It's an extension of him. That's his legacy right there. And this guy goes to work every morning, no matter what time it is. It might be 5:30 in the morning.
Close.
Yeah. And with a big freaking smile on his face, because man, he's doing what he loves every single day, and can nobody take that away from him.
Very accurate.
So for that, we applaud him. You know, a little envy there, Pete, for Pete, because man, you're living the dream. You really are,
he's
brother.
He's living the dream. He sure is.
But like you said, I'm very excited to have him on the show, and ready to get it rolling as soon as he gets ready.
All right. So without any further ado, I want to present my friend, the person that had my life in his hands, my buddy, Pistol Pete, the gunsmith, Pete Yer.
Yut.
You know, I'm fired up about our next guest. This is an individual that I don't only regard him as my friend, but as a brother. It's the individual that when I worked in law enforcement, he had my life in his hands. As an armorer, it's so important when you take out your weapon that it is actually going to do what you want it to do, which is shoot. And that's why it's important. So our next guest, retired Miami-Dade officer and armorer, Pete Yera, obtained a 2-year gun schooling with many armorers and certificates from Glock, both armor and advanced, armor at Smith & Wesson with revolver and pistol, H&K, Colt, Sig Sauer, those are some great brands, Remington. Additionally, Pete was working for the Miami-Dade College as the armorer for the School of Justice, maintaining all the firearms for law enforcement training. Graduated from the Atlantic Technical College of Machinist program, Pete Yera moved on out of law enforcement, and now he's the CEO and owner of Pistol Pete. And it is a tremendous pleasure to have him here. So as soon as he shows up, there he is. Hey, Pete, welcome.
Hey, good morning, Alex. How are you?
Good morning, and it's a pleasure. Also here today is my co-host,
Mike Sierra. Mike, going on, Pete?
Mike Sierra, and
hey.
We're enjoying this moment. Now, before we start, we're going to break the ice a little bit, and we want to ask you what we call the Fantastic Four questions. So, rapid succession, we just give you a question, and first thing top of your head, you go ahead and answer. I'll give you two.
Okay.
And my co-host, Mike Sierra, will give you the other two. Here we go. Ready? Favorite movie?
Yep. The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Not bad. I could see you in that role, by the way. I could see you in that
role. The Ugly?
No, that was a cheap shot, but okay.
Now, here we go. The questions are going to get tougher now. Ready? Here you go. Ready?
Okay.
Favorite gun?
Oh, the 1911.
We called that one, too.
I called it. I told Mike Sierra that as soon as you come on, watch, when I ask him this question, he's going to say 1911. Know him like a book.
Well, you know me, so you know what I like, yeah?
Yeah. All right, next question. Mike Sierra.
All right, Pete. Favorite superhero?
Superman.
See, that's how we connected, brother.
Definitely Superman. I mean, you know, all the other guys have tools and have things. Superman's got everything. He don't need no tools.
He don't need none of that stuff. All right.
Nope.
Last question. If it's one animal in the whole world that you can fight, which animal would it be?
A bunny.
I love it. Love it.
I'm old. I don't want to fight.
Good answer, man. Make it easy. Fast and easy, man.
I love it. I thought he was going to go with a duck, but he actually went with a bunny. But, yeah, Pete is a piece of bread. He, as we say in Spanish, pedazo de pan. He's a very good-hearted individual. Pete, before we get into the mix here on armory, what drove you in the first place, the study of weapons in armory and getting involved, and when did it start, and how long was that road?
Well, if you ask my mother, she would say since I was born, I've always played with guns. She always tells a story that in Cuba for years, you know, there was nothing. So one year they were able to do a really long line and get me a little horsey that bounced up and down. But my uncle took a couple of pieces of wood and made a sword and a little gun with it. And that's what I went for. I didn't care about the real long line that my parents had to do for days in order to get the bouncy horsey. I liked the little sword and the little gun that was made out of wood. So it's been an attraction for me since I was a kid. Always enjoyed playing with them, enjoyed shooting them. And then little by little, people started asking me to redo their stock because I like to do a lot of woodwork. And it started by doing that. And here I am.
After all these years, he finally got his dream. Now, after law enforcement, and I was there with you, I remember the countdown. I think you started at 100. Here we go. 100 days to go. 99 days to go. 75. You know, and I want to tell you the truth. There were a lot of guys that were pissed off because you kept on counting. But I said, keep on counting, Pete. Keep on counting. And that day came.
They were just jealous.
They were jealous.
Well, my countdown wasn't only, because I was finishing my career in corrections, but it's because I was planning on starting this career. So, I had an ulterior motive. I enjoyed my time in corrections, but I wanted to do this.
Yeah.
I couldn't do working for corrections. I couldn't do what I do now. I mean, you can only, just repair them back to factory standards. Now I can do so much more.
Now, when you were in law enforcement, when you worked at the Institute, you worked on hundreds, if not thousands, of weapons. I remember doing the project on the shotguns, the Remington 870s.
Mm-hmm.
And you would go home literally full of dust and sand from that sandblaster. And why did you now want to turn that around from a paycheck that you knew you were going to get into, you don't know, the unknown? Why the unknown and starting your own business?
Well, in corrections, you're right. I had a steady paycheck, and now it just depends on the amount of business that I have. But again, in corrections and law enforcement, you can only do certain things to the firearm. You can only maintain it to the, and keep it at a factory specification level because of liability issues. You can't trick them out. Now I can make a gun, a race gun. I can make, I mean, I have a variety of things that I can do. I can make a gun a little bit less tight and more reliable so that it will be a defensive gun. There's all sorts of things I can play with. The field has opened up quite a bit by being able to do this. Everything was black. You know, all the guns were black. Mm-hmm. Now I can make them pink. It's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And we see a lot of your work. Pete, he will post on Facebook and on his website a lot of his creations. And we're going to link all that information where you can see it. It's fantastic work. And it takes a time to get to that, to master that. And when he, you know, when he tells you when he started thinking about this since he was a child, when did you start actually becoming an armorer?
About 13, 14 years ago, I started taking classes. I started actually wanting to know more and more about it. And about 3 years after that, so about 9, 10 years ago, I had the position. The position came available for me to move into the armorer's spot in the department. And by that time, I already had several certificates and was a pretty much a shoo-in because nobody had the certificates that I was already holding that I had put my time and my money into.
Yeah.
So it was a benefit for our department.
Now, this machinist program that you're certified in, tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I did that after I finished corrections. It was it's a local high school vocational college type of thing. And when I finished in the Department of Corrections, I went over there and I took classes so that I can learn how to actually do machining. I mean, I was already doing it just by playing around, but I didn't want to just play around. I wanted to actually be able to know how to use the machines properly, and it was incredible.
And there are some machines. I've been to Pete's shop, and some of that stuff looks scary. Tell us a little bit about those machines and what they do.
Well, we have a lathe, so we can do work on barrels and anything that is round. And we have a milling machine that we can do anything that any cutting on metal. These are the lathe is over 3,000 pounds, and the mill is over 2,000. They're monsters. They're designed for working on steel.
Yeah. Now, which of the firearms you prefer, or better said, that might be easier to work on, the revolver platform, semi-auto, AR, AK, which platform?
It depends. I mean, you know, that's kind of a broad question.
Yeah.
You have some semi-automatic firearms that are handguns that are extremely difficult to work with.
Mm-hmm.
They're made like Swiss watches. And then you have some semi-auto pistols that are really simple, such as a Glock.
Yeah.
The revolvers, I used to work on so many in the college and for corrections that the Smith & Wesson revolver, I could pretty much do blindfolded. And I know for sure that the Glock I can do blindfolded. The trainees got me to do that one time. So to me, some of the worst guns to work on is the double barrels, the over and under and side by side. A lot of those are very difficult to work on.
Now, I remember working at the range with Pete, and a police officer from Miami-Dade had brought him a semi-auto, I believe it might have been a 380, that looked like it went through hell and back. Thing was full of rust. And when I saw the finished product, I was amazed. It went from, it looked like garbage. And I don't even think the slide worked. And it turned into a tremendous gem. And you might not even remember what I'm talking about, but I remember that. That's one thing that really highlighted me about Pete, other than the fact that he would look at me and he would say, you know what this is? And he'd show me like a spring or something. And I would go, no. And then he would say, well, this is this, 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 and the other thing. I go, okay. But he showed me a lot. He really did.
I really don't recall that one that you're talking about, because it happens to so many. And sometimes I just marvel myself. I mean, you can bring these things back to life and back to full functionality. And that's what I love. I love being able to restore something from, you know, from a mess of rust into something that is beautiful to look at.
A gem. Yes, I believe the firearm was from Spain or something like that, if I remember correctly. But I was amazed, because I had seen it when you first got it. And then a couple of weeks later, you brought it to the range and you were, because the individual was going to pick it up. And I looked, I go, is this the same weapon I saw a couple of weeks ago? It was amazing. Pete, if I'm listening to you from California and I'm saying, wow, you know, I'd like to do some work on my weapon. And again, we're going to link on our page, lpoliceradio.com, some of this information on Pete and where you can see his finished products. But if I'm listening to you from California and I want you to work on some of my weapons, how do I go about that?
Well, you can send them to me. I have an FFL, so I am a federally firearms licensed in the workshop. And you can just send them to me on the mail, UPS, FedEx, and I can send them right back to you. You have to send your first thing will be to contact me. And we'll talk about the arrangements, and then we'll see. You can just put it in the mailbox.
There you go. And the website for Pistol Pete?
It's PistolPeteGuns.com.
It's that easy. PistolPete.com. PistolPete's.com.
Pistol Pete Guns.
PistolPeteGuns.com. It's that easy. And again, we're going to link all this information so you'll know exactly where to go and pick some of these things up. Now, you're pretty much an expert on weaponry. There's always a room to grow and to learn in any profession. I know that. But to me, I think you've reached that. And as I said earlier when I started the interview, my life was in this man's hands. I remember when I first became an instructor, he said, let me, he would chew in tobacco at the same time, spitting several times.
Still am.
And let me tell you, it's a sight to see as the spitting tobacco go flying, and you'd make sure you didn't get it on your boots. But he told me, let me get your weapon. And he goes, I'm going to fix your trigger. And I'm like, okay. I didn't know anything was wrong with it. And this is the mindset, that it's a well-oiled machine. He has to absolutely know what he's doing, because pretty much if you go to an armorer, that person's life is in the armorer's hands, and that they know exactly what they're doing. It's not that easy. It's a difficult profession, has huge amounts of responsibility. So you got to know where you're taking it to. And I always had a lot of trust in Pete, so I highly recommend him. Now, Pete, what's the future look like for you?
Ooh, I don't
tough
know.
Question.
Where are we going? Yeah, that's Hollywood? A tough question. Right now, I'm just having fun.
There you go.
And as long as we can keep doing it, we're going to stay having fun. I enjoy what I do. I look forward to coming in here and playing, is what I call it. Nancy tells me all the time, you're playing with the guns again? Yes, that's what I do.
Now, I have to point this out. Nancy's is newlywed wife.
My wife.
And
yes,
we were very excited when Pete got married. And just kidding aside, I told him, you're closing on on regular work days now early, where Pete used to be there for 12 hours, and you're going on vacation? Wait a minute. This.
Well, she doesn't let me stay here all day long. But but apart from that, I mean, I still look forward to coming here. To me, it's fun. I come to enjoy myself. I don't really consider it work. So what can I tell you? What's in the future? Hopefully, if God allows it, I'll stay doing this for a long time, just coming and playing.
What I can tell you is he really enjoys his work. And what he's saying, to give it some value, is when you're doing something that you enjoy, you do it that much better. And he really enjoys it. And it's just not a job for him. It's, you know, to cop a corny phrase, it's an adventure because he enjoys what he's doing. Now, that's an Army phrase, and he's a Marine, so...
Hoorah.
Yeah, you know, I didn't want Sierra, Mike Sierra, it's very okay. Serious behind me now. I said that
we love him
thing
too.
And it didn't go well.
Well, we love him too. They wear the uniform.
Well,
he's young, I'm old. So, you know, when you get older, you get a little bit more understanding.
Now we're going to have...
Not everybody could be a Marine, you know, it's okay.
It's right. It's okay. You can inspire. You're going to, you know, I want to be. Not everybody can do it. We got that. Now, Pete's going to be on this program. He's going to be the registered expert. So every once in a while when we have a show on and we have a question on guns, we might drop Pete a phone call and catch him off guard in the middle of his work with his machines there and ask him that question. Because I want to show, I want the listeners to know the level of experience that he has. So we look forward to this. Bad weather headed your way, tremendous hurricane. Thanks for being with us, Pete. It's tremendous always to have you here, not as my friend, but as my brother. And I wish you all the best as a newlywed now. You have a boss, and you have to follow instructions and go along. You know how the program works. And we look forward to speaking to you in the future.
Well, I always love talking to you. You're somebody I look up to. Your peace and your peaceful spirit is always great to have around. And I miss you here, coming by. But, you know, we can talk on the phone. So I love you, my brother. And thanks for having me on.
Well, thanks for being with us here on the program. I love you also. Keep in touch and, you know, keep things happening. Make sure nothing breaks. And it's a little gig. Don't worry. Don't get nervous on me.
No, okay.
Thanks for coming on, Pete.
My pleasure.
Told you.
Motivated.
He is one motivated.
Dedicated.
And one motivated Marine, that's for
Marine
sure.
Marine Corps.
He's the most humblest person on the planet, like I've said before. And he has a passion for weapons.
It's a blessing, man. It is a blessing.
How good is that? How can you be blessed enough to do something that you like and you appreciate it? That's how important this is, that you're appreciating what you do. So we definitely appreciate Pete. And like you said, if you want to customize your weapon, you can reach out to him at Pistol Pete, the gunsmith. Just Google it, Pistol Pete, the gunsmith, and he'll pop up. And we'll have a link on our website, www.lpoliceradio.com. And you can contact Pete. Pete's our registered expert, so you're going to be hearing more of Pete. It's not just... a one-time show thing. So as we wrap it up, Mike, you got anything?
No, it's like I said, you guys don't have to be local to get your work done by Pistol Pete. Like I said, he's got that federal firearms license. So just get in contact with him. Doesn't matter where you are in the country. And he'll get your gun out to you. I can guarantee that. And nothing. I wish we can all, you know, eventually end up like Pete did, man, and just retire and then continue doing, serving and doing what we love the most. And that's, you know, for us that love guns, that's working on cleaning, you know, restoring, upgrading guns. It's amazing.
Good.
What else can you ask for in life? That's it.
He's definitely blessed. I want to take these last couple of minutes on this closing segment to talk about passion. And that's one thing that Pistol Pete demonstrates that he has a passion for, is his desire for weapons. But he also has a desire in Christ. And a lot of you guys might be listening, and we might have discussed it in our first podcast, you're struggling in life. You're maybe struggling at work, struggling at home. Things are just not working out for you, and you're starting to reach the bottom. But as you might have heard before, once you reach the bottom, you can always get up from there and achieve reaching the top. So take your burdens and everything that is afflicting you and put them on Christ. Jesus has said he's faithful. I believe he's faithful. And he will carry you so you can have that same passion in life and continue going forward. You can be rich in your marriage, rich at work, rich with your children, and rich in your spirit if you take that faith and throw it on Jesus. That's the way to go.
Amen.
More podcasts to come?
A whole lot more.
A whole lot more. Next guest up was Los Angeles County Sheriff's Office. They're going to come out and talk to us about recruitment and the dire need that they have to get more people in the ranks. I've enjoyed being with you these last 30, 40 minutes. We encourage you to continue listening. Don't forget, you can subscribe to our web podcast, El Police Radio, and as well as Leatherneck 7. I'm out.
God bless. Semper Fi.